What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Caleb. We're going to review what went down today in the association, as well as preview tomorrow's two-game slate. As usual, I hope y'all are doing well. I am a little bit sick. Slept through most of the day, though, so I am feeling a bit better. But apologies if the voice sounds a little stuffy, because it is. It is. But three fun games that went down today. I only played one thing. That was Isaiah Hartenstein over 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Half unit. And that did not get there. But a lot of the leans did get there. And I feel decent about at least of the series in which I've watched every game or most of every game. I feel good about the way we're seeing things. Just laid off stuff and is what it is. Let's get into the games itself. I guess we can just get the bet out of the way. Isaiah Hartenstein over 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Talked about it on the pod. I like that because I thought I was fully under the impression that Mitchell Robinson wasn't going to go. Missed 3 months during the regular season because he had surgery on his ankle. Comes back towards the end of the regular season. I think he played two games. And to be 100% honest with you, he is a better matchup against Joel Embiid. He's longer. He's more athletic. I don't necessarily know if he's stronger, but he has a more, in my opinion, wiry frame. He's wider, right? He probably has a little bit more bounce on Hartenstein. And I think the biggest thing is just the length. The length is big for Joel Embiid. And so when he's healthy and good, I get why the minutes are split, right? You almost split the minutes down the middle. Obviously, if one's in foul trouble, roll with the other, close with whoever's hotter, whoever's playing better in general. But I didn't think he was going to go. Missed last game. Game time decision didn't go. You're up 3-1 at home. I would have full-on guessed, given that this was his surgically repaired ankle, that he would have sat tonight. And so I rolled with Isaiah Hartenstein over 19.5 points. And then Mitch gets ruled in. It's too late to back out. And Isaiah gets off to a great start. I think he has 8 in his first stint. Comes out about 3 minutes left in the first. I'm thinking, all right, he's going to come back with 6-7 minutes left in the second. And Mitch basically goes until like 2 minutes left in the second. I'm like, all right, this might be cooked. Yeah, this could be cooked. Picks up a couple more. Has an okay stretch at the start of the second half. Sitting at 17 when he comes out, and then Mitch just closes the game. And I think Isaiah came in a little bit at the end in OT, but by then it was over. And I can't even fault Tibbs. Like, Mitch did a good job on Joel. They still did throw doubles, but is what it is. Wouldn't have played that if I had known Mitch was going to go, but that's all, obviously 100% on me because I didn't think – I honestly, I would have put it 80-20. One thing I will say, a little rant. There's nothing worse. I mean, there are things worse, but an infuriating thing that happens that they've got to change. I don't know if they will. I probably don't care enough to. But when you have a guy's over in rebounds and he gets a rebound and gets fouled simultaneously slash even if he gets fouled after he clearly has the rebound, 90% of the time they call it a team rebound. And it's like not your rebound anymore. And it's like, it was his rebound and he got fouled. Like, I get it if they're like, it's a loose ball foul, but like, and that happened today. And it wouldn't have made a difference. He would have finished with 18 instead of 17. That's still short. But like, bro, if he gets a rebound and then gets fouled, it is a rebound. It is not a team rebound. But anyways, tough out for the Knicks. For me, it was like, again, I came into this liking Sixers plus the 4. Wasn't going to play it. And again, we talk about how if you like a dog, and I think this is something I'm going to just have to adjust to moving forward. And I know it's not always going to happen, but I'll live when it doesn't. But if you like a dog, just take them on the money line, bro. Just take them on the money line. It's going to be worth it in the long run. There are going to be a couple heartbreaking times where you take a dog, like I guess the Magic today, right? Where you take a dog and they don't win, but they cash the spread. But I think, especially in the playoffs, right? Just take the damn dog on the money line. Take them on the money line. Knicks come in at plus 150 cash. Bucks, honestly, I'm recording this before that game ends. Let me check just to make sure. But Bucks flying in for a landing as well as a plus 140 dog. Yeah, they're up 21. And honestly, if you had Knicks, I will say if you had Knicks minus four, you probably feel a little bit hoed. I mean, that it's just kind of the way it goes. They were down in the fourth, but at the end, they're up six, 28-ish seconds left. Tyrese Maxey, who, oh my good Lord, he is cooking right now. He has fully cemented himself as a number two guy on a team, on a playoff team. Anyways, up six for the Sixers, down six. Tyrese comes down, step back. Mitch closes. Again, I think if there is one thing about, like, all right, maybe you do take Mitch off, it's, you know, at this point in the game, he's gassed. Like, you could see it. He's tired because he's played 14 straight playoff minutes in a row. It's like, that's the one thing. But, I get it. Mitch is a better matchup against Joel Embiid. Wasn't even, like, an egregious foul. Like, it was one of those where Tyrese comes off the screen, pumps. He slides in. Maxey leans in, gets a bump, shoots it. Three. Knocks it down. Makes the free throw. Still, it's a two-point game with however many seconds left. Josh Hart gets fouled. Josh Hart only makes one. Tyrese Maxey comes down, drills a three. I'm sure you guys saw it, right? But there, well, a lot of fucking things need to happen to lose a game when you're up six with 28 seconds left, even if they have the ball. It did. So we got to wait a little bit longer for Knicks series. Series at minus 115, two units to cash. It's like I'm almost like waiting for that to cash to have confidence again, but it's like, come on, bro. Just play what you like. Regardless, again, we never, like I said, this is not over. It hasn't been over. And like we said before, really whatever happens in the first three quarters happens. When it gets to 5 minutes or less left, it's going to be a close game. And it's going to come down to who executes better. And honestly, the Sixers have two guys in which you can go get offense from. The Knicks got one. Self-created offense from. Right. So in theory, the Sixers have the advantage there. But I wouldn't panic if I'm a Knicks fan. Obviously, look, you feel a lot better you got that done. Because I'm telling you, it would not – I wouldn't say it's likely or the more likely thing to happen. But it wouldn't shock me at all. If the Knicks, gotta be careful, bro. If the Sixers won these next two games, it's gonna be really hard. Even if, and I would say they'd be absolutely should be favored to win game six in Philly. It's gonna be really tough to win that game seven in New York, but absolutely capable of it. Joel Embiid is gas, bro. And again, we talked about the assists. Think it's a look going forward. I really just, even if he gets it going early, he's going to see doubles. Today had a triple-double with 10 assists, had 9 in regulation. I've honestly, like, that thought has crossed my mind, like Joel Embiid triple-double, but I'm like, dude, he's just going to finish with 7 or 8. And honestly, he finished with 9 in regulation, but still, right? That's just a look to keep coming back to is the assists. And then we'll get to the Philly game when that comes up in a couple days. Philly's going to be a slight favorite in that game. Going to be a coin flip game. Going to just come down to who executes late. Cavs Magic, we laid off completely. I did lean Cavs. Would not have gotten there. Jared Allen ruled out a couple minutes before, or, you know, 10 minutes or so before tip. Thought about Evan Mobley. Didn't get there. And we finally had our first close game. Where the Cavs pull it out late. This is going seven. Magic are going to win game six. Now, that being said, I don't know if they'll cover, but I will probably be on the Magic if it's five or less. It's going seven. It is absolutely going seven. Dude, honestly, the Magic are right there. The Magic are right there. This is a great kind of first year of experience for them, and I'm still – I know Donovan's not 100% healthy, and then obviously Jarrett's out tonight, but it just doesn't feel, and it's early, and you can call me jumping the gun. It just doesn't feel like this is a group that's going to have enough to get it done long-term. I feel like you'd want to see a little bit more from this team, and I know they won tonight, but to feel good about, you know, matching up in the East long-term with some of these other teams like the Celtics, like the Knicks, like the Sixers, even like the Bucks when they get back healthy. All right, Bucks and Pacers, didn't get to watch most of this either. Again, we like the Bucks. We liked them plus the four. We liked them plus 140. Didn't ended up staying off of it. And for me, this is both these teams, like with the Pacers and the Knicks. I'd say even more so with the Pacers, you're trying to get this shit done now. I guess with the Pacers, it's a little different because it's like now you go home for game six, whereas the Knicks are going on the road. But with the Pacers, it's like, bro, Dame could come back. Giannis can come back. And again, it's a little weird having your first game back in the highest leverage spot of a series. Again, that generally doesn't work out well. But hey, the Bucks, again, it is very, very hard to close out a team on the road. And the Bucks proved why tonight. Shorthanded, 4-point dogs at home in a closeout game, and they still got it done. So props to the Bucks there. And considered it. And I think this is just gathering moments, data gathering moments, where I think in closeout games, you got to look at unders, and then you got to look at the team that is with their back against the wall, as dogs especially. And we got two of those teams with their backs against the wall as dogs, one at home, one on the road, winning it outright tonight. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's get into the games today. Sorry, tomorrow. We got two of them. Start with Miami Heat, Boston Celtics. Miami coming in 14-point underdogs on the road in a close it out game. No KP for the Boston Celtics. And I can't lie, this is the game, this is the series that I've paid the least amount of attention to. Just because you kind of have already, I think it's fair to say you've kind of already known the result. Some Heat fans may disagree with me, but we're sitting here 3-1, Boston at home. They're going to win this game. I would be very, very surprised if they don't win this game. And I think, honestly, if there was a game in which Miami would have covered, I mean, obviously they covered in one outright game two, but to me that was still, again, largely because of a very, very outlier shooting performance. And you come into this one now on the road. Yes, Boston doesn't have KP, but they're more than equipped to handle it. Al Horford just slots in, and, you know, he doesn't do everything that KP does, not nearly the level of shooter or scorer. Or protector of the rim, but Al Horford is as solid as it gets, probably a little bit of a better passer, just a winner. Just a winner. I can't get there on Miami. I know it's a close it out game. I know it's 14. It's just with this Boston team, you know, they can roll you. They can roll you. And I think because of the way things have gone in the past, right? Like this Miami Heat team beating the Boston Celtics. It was crazy. We're a year removed from Miami winning the first three games, losing the next three, and then winning game seven in Boston. I'm trying to battle through this, but I think all that just does play a factor in it. It is the same coach, is for the most part the same core, right? Like Drew wasn't there, KP wasn't there, but like I think they just are at the point and have matured to the point where it's like, all right, we absolutely can't take anything for granted. Get this shit done. Get us our rest, because we know, right, we're getting a really good who are they playing? Why am I blanking? They're not playing the winner of the Pacers or Bucks or the Knicks. Sixers. Yeah, they're playing the Cavs or Magic, most likely. I guess that's not like, all right, lock in, bro. Lock in. But all I'm saying is they understand, one, the importance of rest, right, with Kristaps Porzingis, and two, how you can't take anything for granted. Get it done as soon as you can get it done, and then move on and focus on who you're playing. And I just feel like this is a more mature version of the Celtics than we've seen. And they're not perfect. We know this, but they're going to get this thing done tomorrow. Now, Miami, again, this is tough because it's 14. This is not 10. This is not 9. But then a lot of times a blowout's a blowout, right? And what's the difference between a 15 to 20 point win. So to me, I see valid reasons on both sides. And I think the other part of it too is, like, to be a completely and 100% honest with you, I have watched this series the least out of any of the series. So I don't know if there's a sustainable thing for the Heat, but all I know is that in three of the four games, they've been thoroughly beat. And in the one game they won barely, and it's because they set a franchise record for threes. And this is not even coming from a just looking at the game standpoint. This is coming from a Boston is just significantly better in every area besides coach. They have creators, they have rim protectors, they have passers, they have on-ball defenders, they have shooters. Miami has grindy – Miami's best player is Bam Adebayo, who's an all-star level player, but he's not a guy you necessarily – he's not a go-to scorer, right? He's not a guy who's always going to create advantages for you. He's a guy who can absolutely make passes and finish at the rim and hit mid-range. But, you know, and then Tyler Hero is very hit or miss right as well right now. So, would it shock me if Tyler Hero or some of these role players are just drilling threes and Miami's in it? No, it wouldn't shock me. But that's what it's going to come down to. That is absolutely what it's going to come down to. The pace has been slow all series. And then on top of that, you combine slow pace with the fact that Miami doesn't have real offensive creators. Like, I like the under, but again, so low. And Miami's now had two straight games where they haven't scored. I wouldn't be surprised if they find it this game. But for me, it's going to just be the same thing that it's kind of been with this series, is just stay away and let what happens happens. But to me, nothing of interest for me here. Next and last game, Mavericks Clippers. Boy, oh boy, this is a tough one. Really, only other 1-0 series or one other series that was 2-2 has played out. That was Cavs Magic today. Cavs took the first two in dominance. Magic took the second two in dominance. And then the Cavs barely won today. The Mavs Clippers have had a very up and down, unpredictable, like literally you have no real way to like understand or have a rhythm or flow to this series. Game one, Mavs go in there into LA. No Kawhi, and the Clippers win handedly. Then the Mavs go in with Kawhi and beat them. Then the Mavs come back, beat them with Kawhi, and then the Clips with their backs against the wall go into Dallas without Kawhi as a 7-point dog and not just win a game, but get up super, super early. The Mavs roar back from down 30. I think at one point take the lead by one, and then the Clips just – they handled every punch. James Harden was great. Paul George was great. And now the series is 2-2, headed back to LA. Woo! Mavs coming in as 3-point favorites. I think that says a little bit of something. I think because the books obviously have seen all of these games and they're putting this at 3. They easily could have put this at 2, right? Because it's not like the books don't know that the Clippers have won both games without Kawhi. But this is going to be a grinded out game. I would lean the under 207 here. We've seen extremely low pace, and you've almost seen, I wouldn't even say, like, again, there's just one less shot creator without Kawhi. I really struggle with this one because this is giving a ton of respect to the Mavs. This is a 6-point edge, essentially. I don't know. This is a stay away for me on the spread. If I had to pick, I think I picked the Mavs. But one, Luka's not right. And two, this Clips team is really organized right now without Kawhi. And it's really empowered James Harden to be the best version of himself. This attacking downhill, get to his spots, floaters in the mid-range game that he has. And it just really locks in PG and James. So I don't know. This is really, really tough for me, guys. This is really, really tough for me. On one hand, you have this Clippers team that has played played better than the Mavs without Kawhi. And on the other hand, you have a Dallas Mavericks team that knows if they win this, they have a chance to close it out at home in game 6. So I think Dallas is a slightly better team. But again, Ty Lue's a better coach. And with the way Paul George and James Harden are playing without Kawhi, they're right there. This is going to be an unbelievable game. I've got no lean either in which way. I think the only thing I'd like is the under. I honestly, in we can go through this too. Like, I get I like the under. The pace is slow, but let's look at this. In the two games now without Kawhi in this series, James Harden has gone for 28-2-8. So that's 38 PRA. And then last game, you know, obviously went crazy. 33-6-7. PG in the two games without Kawhi, 33-6-8 last game. And then 22-6-3. So he actually didn't go that crazy game one, but they didn't really need him to, right? It was one of those games where they were up early and it was like the Mavs were trying to push back, but they never really got there. So I think one of those two is definitely hitting their PRA tomorrow. James gets a little bit more, you know, assist utility, PG a little bit more rebounding utility. You would say in general, PG is the better scorer, but James Harden's been really getting to his spots and the floater's been on point lately. So I don't know. I think this is it sucks because I lay off everything today and I had genuine leans today. Tomorrow I come in and it's not really like I'm all that super excited about anything in terms of like playing something. So yeah, guys, that's just where I'm at. Is the under in this one is probably my favorite look just because of the pace and the way things have gone. And again, one of these two teams gets hot, it'll go over. But I mean, even like, see, last game they shot the hell out of it. Last game it was a 221. No, that was game one. Okay, I was gonna say last game was a 219 over under. No way, that cannot be right. It was not 219. But regardless, these guys made every shot. Let me pull it up because the Yahoo app is, that is not right. Was it 219? There's no way it was 219. Maybe it was though. Maybe it fucking was. All right. Pulling it up. Last game. Yeah, no, it was 209. That makes way more sense. 209. I like the under. You saw it, right? Like Pacers-Bucks. Pacers-Bucks was a open 214, got up to 217, and the game before, it was the same and flew way over. And everyone, I like the over just because it's been flying over. And then today it didn't. Again, would be super easy and would make sense, quote, make sense, if the over got bumped a little bit, but it held steady. And we have the same situation here where the game flew over last game, flew over, like way over 209, and it's now it's bumped down to 207. So I like the under tomorrow. I do, and we've seen every single game besides last game go over. I like it to come back down under. It's going to be a super grindy game. It's a 3-game mini series. LA at home. I think both games in LA went under. Under two in game one. Finished at 206. Game one under 206. Game two, 216 total, 96-93. That's my favorite look tomorrow. I probably will lock that in at under 207. Nothing in Miami Celtics. If you want something, I go Bam. You know everything's gonna run through him. He damn well could play 45 minutes. High PRA, but he chips in everywhere. Tomorrow, no lean on the sides. I could see it going either way. I'd probably lean Clippers, but I'm not getting there. And I do think Dallas is the better team. So anyways, thanks for hanging in there with me, guys. Hopefully the voice and the nose gets a little bit better over the coming days. Continue to enjoy the hoops. High, high, high level basketball. And we'll be back to get after it tomorrow. Love you guys. Peace.